Why is it that Power's game is so hard to see despite the fact that it's so obvious? And I ask this because in Waking Up, the book, Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work, Power's game was staring me in the face in near the beginning of the final chapter of the book called The Plan. I had a quote from a gentleman named William Townsend who was writing in at the end of the 18th century, just before the French Revolution in England. And Carl Polanyi, included these words from him in his book, The Great Transformation. Hunger will tame the fiercest animals. It will teach decency and civility, obedience and subjection to the most perverse. In general, it's only hunger which can spur and goad them, the poor, on to labor. Yet our laws, the poor laws of the time in England, have said they shall never hunger. Relief given to those who were completely destitute, such that destitution could not fall below a certain level. The laws, it must be confessed, have likewise said they shall be compelled to work, says William Townsend. But then, legal constraint is attended with much trouble, violence, and noise, creates ill will, and never can be productive of good and acceptable service, whereas hunger is not only peaceable, silent, unremitting pressure, but as the most natural motive to industry and labor. It calls forth the most powerful exertions, and when satisfied by the free bounty of another, lays lasting and sure foundations for goodwill and gratitude, unquote. That's pretty well sums up Power's game. But I couldn't, when I wrote Waking Up, I couldn't see it as an organized strategy because so many of the puzzle pieces were missing. The problem is the game, Power's game, stands in plain light instead of in truth's light. And in this case, plain sight is our deeply conditioned belief in assumption of scarcity. The notion that there isn't enough for all. But I believe we are in a moment when all the puzzle pieces are in place. We have Popper, Karl Popper, who wrote The Open Society and Its Enemies, and he exposed the historicist myth, and Plato, Hegel, and Marx's key roles in legitimating it, as well as how totalitarianism hides in it. He also showed Power's use of it. We also have Martin Bernal, who wrote Black Athena. He shows that the story of ancient Greece has been teaching elites for centuries a complete fabrication that bolstered the plans of power. We have Hirschman, Albert O. Hirschman, who wrote The Passions and the Interests, the arguments for capitalism prior to its triumph. And he showed us that money is but a tool for power in a monumental duel. We have Polanyi, Karl Polanyi, The Great Transformation, who explained how power solved Plato's problem of imperialism, the notion that you can't permanently control the thoughts of a captive populace because there's always outsiders who will reinfect them. And Polanyi explained, not in this language for sure, this problem, and I use the word imperialism in the sense that Karl Popper did, was solved by power by creating a world market. The 19th century gold standard created a global economy compelling all to come in. And we have Terry Hopkins and Emmanuel Wallerstein, world systems theory, the notion that there is a single world economic system, capitalism. And they exposed the fatal flaws of this system, that states will ever be pushed from below by the people. We the people continuously demand ever greater access to our unique gifts until very shortly, I hope, we each one incorporate the state, the economy, consciously in a process of global and fully participatory society redesign, which will simultaneously be a conscious allegiance realignment with the earth. In the opening of Revealing Division, I quote Samuel Butler, who in The Way of All Flesh wrote of a quote, thing so easily to be found that it took a highly educated scholar like himself to be unable to find it. Power is fully exposed now, however. The philosopher king has no clothes. The next question then is, what do we, the people, want? And then, how do we get it?